Canto 5, chapter 10, and texts 1 and 2. So, very long verses without meter. So, why don't we read in Slovenian language the summary study of the chapter.
Some of them, they don't understand the
Slovenian. No? Okay, I'll do in English then. Okay. Chapter 10. The discussion between Jad Bharat and Maharaj Rahugan. In this chapter, Bharat Maharaj, now Jad Bharat, was successfully accepted by King Rahugan, ruler of the states known as Sindhu and Sauvir. The king forced Jad Bharat to carry his palanquin and chastise him because he did not carry it properly. A carrier of a king Rahugan's palanquin was needed. And to fulfill this need, the chief carriers found Jad Bharat as the most likely person to do the work. He was therefore forced to carry the palanquin. Jad Bharat, however, did not protest this proud order, but humbly accepted the job and carried the palanquin. While carrying it, however, he was very careful to see that he did not step on any ant, and whenever he saw one, he would stop until the ant had passed. Because of this, he could not keep pace with the other carriers. The king within the palanquin became very disturbed and chastised Jad Bharat with filthy language. But Jad Bharat, being completely freed from the bodily conception, did not protest. He proceeded carrying the palanquin. When he continued as before, the king threatened him with punishment, and being threatened by the king, Jad Bharat began to talk. He protested against the filthy language used by the king, and when the king chastised him, and the king, hearing the instructions of Jad Bharat, was awakened to his real knowledge. When he came to his consciousness, he understood that he had offended a great learned and saintly person. At that time, he very humbly and respectfully prayed to Jad Bharat. He wanted to understand the deep meaning of the philosophical words used by Jad Bharat Maharaj, and with great sincerity, he begged his pardon. He admitted that if one offended the lotus feet of pure Vaishnava devotee, he is certainly punished by the trident of Lord Shiva. Text 1. I'll read the Sanskrit and translation for both the words and for the second verse. Sri Sukha Vacha Atha Sindhu Savira Pate Rahuganasya Vrajata Ikshu Mahamatya Tate Tatkula Patina Sibika Vaha पुरुष अन्वेषण सम्ये दैवेन उपसादिता सह द्विजवर ब्राह्मण द्विजवर उपलब्ध एष पिवा युवा संहनन अंग गोखरवत दूरम वोधुम अलम इति पूर्व गृहितै सह गृहिता प्रसभा अतत अर्ह उवाह सिबिकाम सह महाअनुभावः. Translation: Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, after this, King Rahugan, ruler of the state known as Sindhu and Sauvir, was going to Kapilasram when the king's chief palanquin carriers reached the bank of river Ikshumati, they needed another carrier. Therefore, they began searching for someone, and by chance they came upon Jad Bharat. They considered the fact that Jad Bharat was very young and strong and had a firm limbs like cows and asses. He was quite fit to carry loads. Thinking in this way, although the great soul Jad Bharat was unfit for such work, they nonetheless unhesitatingly forced him to carry the palanquin." Second verse: "Yada hi dvija ishu matra avaloka anugata na samahita purusha gati tada ishvam gatam swasibikam rahuganah upadharya purushan adivata aha hi vodhara sadhu atikramat kim iti vishmam uhyate yanam iti." Translation: "The palanquin, however, was very erratically carried by Jad Bharat due to his sense of non-violence. As he stepped forward, he checked before him every 3 feet to see whether he was about to step on ants. Consequently, he could not keep pace with the other carriers. Due to this, the palanquin was shaking, and King Rahugan immediately asked the carrier, 'Why are you carrying this palanquin unevenly? Better carry it properly.'" Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although Jad Bharat was forced to carry the palanquin, he did not give up his sympathetic feelings towards the poor ants passing on the road. A devotee of the Lord does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities even when he is in a most distressful condition. Jad Bharat was a qualified Brahman, highly elevated in spiritual knowledge. Yet he was forced to carry the palanquin. He did not mind this, but while walking on the road, he could not forget his duty to avoid killing even an ant. A Vaishnava is never envious or unnecessarily violent. There were many ants on the path, but Jad Bharat took care by looking ahead 3 feet. When the ants were no longer in this way, he would place his foot on the ground. A Vaishnava is always very kind at heart to all living entities. In his Sankhya Yoga, Lord Kapildev explains, Srut Sarvabhu Dehinam. Living entities assumes different bodily forms. Those who are not Vaishnava consider only human society worthy of their sympathy. But Krishna claims to be the supreme father of all life forms. Consequently, the Vaishnava takes care not to annihilate untimely or unnecessarily any life form. All living entities have to fulfill a certain duration for being encased in a particular type of material body. They have to finish the duration allotted a particular body before being promoted or elevated to another body. Killing an animal or any other living being simply places an impediment in the way of his completing his term of imprisonment in a certain body. One should therefore not kill bodies for one's sense gratification, for this will implicate one in sinful activities. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salaka Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupkadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. So chapter entitled Maharaj Raghavan meets Jad Bharat. So Maharaj Raghavan was the king of Sindhu province and Saurashtra province. From his capital city, he is trying to go to Kapil Muni's ashram, which is other part of India, coast to coast almost. Kapil Muni's ashram is in Ganga Sagar, near Calcutta. So while he was going in a palanquin, the king's palanquin carriers, when they reach river Ikshwamati, they find out that they need another carrier, another palanquin carrier. So then they find out, start looking and find out Jad Bharat Maharaj, who was just like, who is compared here like cow and ash, because he was hrushta-prushta. He was very healthy looking, very strong in body, and looked like a little dumb. He is not dumb, but he looked like dumb and deaf. And they chose him to carry the palanquin. But Jad Bharat, in this life he was born as a Brahman. And he was acting as Jad. Jad means almost like a retarded. Jad means very dull-headed. It's called Jad. Dull-headed. But he was not. He was acting dull-headed. But they found that, he's very rushta-prushta, very strong and stout, and he can be very worthy. He can be very fit for carrying palanquin. So Jad Bharat was brought to king and he was hauling king in his palanquin, and while hauling, walking, he would look 3 foot ahead in order to not kill any creature, any ants like creature. And because of that, he could not keep his harmony to hauling the palanquin with other person who were carrying palanquin. So king became angry. Naturally, every step there is very jerky ride. So he thought this jerk, Jarbharat Maharaj thought is jerk, giving jerky ride. So he started chastising him. Even though he was very, very elevated, Brahman and pure devotee of the Lord. So, Vaishnava Prat, it says here, previous sloka, or in the purport, it says that he admitted that if one offends the lotus feet of a pure devotee, he is certainly punished by the trident of Lord Shiva. Trident of Lord Shiva is involved, like Sudarshan disc. So, over a period of time, when Jad Bharat, even though he was not fit, he was Brahman, pure devotee, he's not like Sudra, who can carry the palanquin, but even though being Vaishnava, pure devotee, he did not mind. So be it. This is my destiny. So this is the compassionate nature. I'm chosen. What can be done? I'll haul. I will carry the palanquin. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he is mentioning Srut Sarvadehi Naam. Kapil Dev, he says, Srut Sarvadehi Naam. Vaishnavas are very compassionate towards any conditioned souls. Ajata Satrava Santo Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanam. Ajata Satrava. He has no enemy. Ajat Satrava Santa. The Santa word is used in every sloka which glorifies or which mentions the qualities of Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is totally peaceful all the time under all circumstances. Here he is considered to be ass and cow-like, ox-like, and has to carry the palanquin. He didn't mind. He thought it is my destiny. But he had a soft corner in his heart for all living entity. So he was looking 3 feet ahead, see if there is no ant. Then he would take another step. So Prabhupada is remembering in purport that every living entity in a particular body is going through finishing that karma of that body by keeping it to the end of life. But if Vaishnava is very compassionate, he didn't want to untimely kill the ant. Cows being slaughtered untimely, chicken, and so many animals, goats, killed untimely. So this is very sinful, very sinful. Mrugadhari hunter also was afraid of killing ants when he became pure devotee. Compassionate nature. Vaishnava by nature are very compassionate. And topmost compassion is to give living entity Krishna. And you know, in order to give Krishna, we have to give literature about Krishna. And that is book distribution. So that compassion in within heart, when it comes out, then that compassion transforms into preaching. Compassion, overflowing love of Krishna from heart, overflowing love which is coming out gets transformed into compassion. And the biggest compassion is to give them Krishna. And not to kill innocent trees. In Western world, so many paper towels, paper tissues, paper, so many trees unnecessarily, untimely killed. Sisi pancha tattva ki. So this is demoniac, very demoniac. Vaishnava does not want to kill anybody, anything, any creature untimely. Even Vaishnava food is not killing a plant or tree. Killing apple or pear from the tree, you're not killing the tree. Compassionate. When they are about to be fall on the ground, they harvest. When the wheat plant or rice plant is almost dead, they harvest. So this is compassion, not to kill living entity unnecessarily. And leave off grains and fruits. That's a food, right food for human beings. Right food. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Annad bhavati bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yagnad bhavati parjanyo yagna karma samudbhava. Annad bhavati bhutani. Human beings, food is anna. Annad bhavati bhutani. And he says that this anna must be offered to Krishna in sacrifice. Annad bhavati bhutani parjanyat anna sambhava. If you break the cycle, you are thief and chore. Chore and thief, thief and sinful, sinner. Ghor papa, pachanti atma karanat, yagna sista sinna santa, munchate sarvakilbi sahi, bhujante te agham papa, e pachanti atma karanat. He is invariably eating sins. So this ghastly animal slaughter and killing innocent plants and animals and birds and beasts and not necessary for human body, human consumption. Human body is meant for vegetarian diet, which is non-violent. So, this is compassion, not to kill any animal. Killing an animal or any other living entity being simply placed an impediment in the way of his completing his turn of imprisonment in the certain body. A living entity is imprisoned in a certain body, and a living entity has to finish that term in that body. And natural evolution of a spirit soul to human being, it passes through 8,400,000 species of life and gets naturally evolved to human form. And even in human form, very difficult to find Krishna Bhakta, which is the most evolved consciousness. A devotee has the most evolved consciousness, and that is Krishna consciousness. Topmost consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So, natural progression. When we kill something, then we become stumbling block for his march, living entity's march. We kill untimely, unnecessarily. So that should be stopped. Prabhupada says, one should therefore not kill bodies for one's sense gratification, for this will implicate one in the sinful activity. So we have to not kill unnecessarily. That is compassion. That is compassion. Vaishnava by nature very compassionate. Kripa sindhu bhivacha. So we have to be very careful not to offend any living entity, not to kill any living entity unnecessarily, and become some impediment for their march, changing their body and evolve to human being. So that's a purport. I'll stop here. Any question, comment? Yes, Maya.
I have a question, maybe it will be funny. I never understand how when grass is growing, how many souls are there? Is it every grass that has a root? Or
every root, that grass has a soul. A grass plant has a root. So that is one individual plant. And that one individual plant has one soul in it. Symptoms of the soul, whatever thing there is a soul, has a 6 symptoms. It takes birth, it grows, it stays for some time, then dwindles, and then before dwindling, byproducts, and then dwindles, and then dies. So whatever this table cannot have byproducts, doesn't grow, doesn't have byproducts, doesn't have any soul in it, because there is no soul. If there was a soul in this table, the table will produce another table. But there is no soul. So the one plant of grass, whatever small, big it is, it will go through these 6 changes, means there is a soul in it. So that's one individual soul. And such anantaya kalpate, the spirit souls are unlimited. Keshagra satabhagasya satada kalpitasya cha jiva bhaga such anantaya kalpate. The size of the soul is 1/10,000 part of a tip of a hair. And they are unlimited. Anantaya kalpate. They are unlimited. So any other question? Yes.
You spoke a lot about non-violence and ahimsa. So I'm just, I just was wondering what is your take on several senior devotees that they take only ahimsa, nirahimsa, things.
Yeah. This part of the world, this is a concern. It's a good concern. It's a good concern. It is killing. We are promoting by buying milk from the supermarket, we are promoting killing of the cow. To a small, very minute extent, but it is. But we don't have to, I personally think that we don't have to become that dogmatic, that fanatics. The world is going in certain way, and we have to kind of keep going for preaching. But if we can get ahimsa milk, and we have alternative, by all means we should adopt that. We should accept that. I'm not promoting other thing also, killing or non-ahimsa milk. I'm not promoting non-ahimsa milk. Yesterday same question was asked. And the question was that people, some devotees, they getting some free milk, abandoned, unlimited free milk. So then they discarded cows. But in other cases, when we don't have cows and we don't have nothing and we have to offer milk to Krishna and we buy from the supermarket and pay some money and we get somewhere free milk, so their killing is involved and their also killing is involved. And we can get a free milk. We don't have to become so stingy. But at the same time, we don't want to promote killing also. So it depends upon circumstances. Circumstances. Like extreme circumstances, it is very extreme when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent his disciple to preach in Western world, especially London. He said, even if you have to cook meat for Sunday feast and attract people and make them Krishna conscious, do it. So we have to judge everything according to time, place and circumstances. That's what we should do. Any other question? Of course, killing cow is the biggest sin ever. Killing cow is as good as killing Brahman. Killing Brahman, killing cow, very big sin. Any other question? Who? Okay. Yes?
There was a discussion in ISKCON, where does the jiva come from?
So discussion in ISKCON, where?
Where does jiva come from?
Where? Jiva. Jiva come from. Okay.
It was when I asked, is there cow, is it the soul in every...
Every plant, grass, plant. This jiva, it did not come from anything. Jiva is as eternal as Krishna. They simultaneously exist. Not that Krishna is senior to Jiva, or Jiva is born of Krishna. Jiva is eternal like Krishna. Krishna is eternal, Jiva is eternal. Na jayate, na mriyate, kadachin. Naim bhutva bhavita vanabhuya. Ajo nityam sasvato yam purano. Na nitya nimane sarire. Jivas are eternal. Na jayate, na mriyate. And when we say that Jiva is coming from Krishna, what that means is the Jiva is Krishna's amsa, Krishna's part and parcel. Prabhupada didn't say Jiva is part. He says parcel also. Meaning that Krishna and Jiva are eternal. Eternal, simultaneously existing. So that's the first understanding. Jiva comes from Krishna, meaning that Krishna is, Jiva is part of Krishna, means a spark or a light and heat coming from fire. So heat and light and fire, they simultaneously exist. Not that when there is no fire, there is no light. And as soon as there is fire, there is immediately light. Not that it is born. So first of all, we have to fix this point that Krishna is not senior or born. Krishna is not first than Jiva. They both first together. Then next thing we can understand is Jiva's fall. So Jiva's fall means falling in chetana, in consciousness. That's a fall. So he is falling due to consciousness. So when that Jiva evolves to Krishna consciousness, full consciousness, he is back into his constitutional position. So Jiva falls, meaning that he fell down in his consciousness. So this should give answer to his question. I don't know what is his question, but this should.
Okay.
I said you ever exist, spiritual world or material world. You and falling from spiritual world or whatever, falling off consciousness. We are low in consciousness, not the highest level of consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness, which is to remain conscious of Krishna. That's the highest consciousness. And Jiva cannot be separated from consciousness. Consciousness and Jiva are one. You cannot separate consciousness from Jiva. So, falling means the consciousness is falling. I am conscious of so many other things, but not Krishna. So more I am conscious of other than Krishna, that much more I am fallen. Is that answers? Okay, Prabhuji.
I thought that he is asking is if because some devotees are advocating that Jiva is coming, although that it is eternal, he is eternal like Krishna from the borderline between material and spiritual world. And maybe he's asking if he is coming from spiritual or from Brahmajyoti, even though he is eternal, at some point he is coming from somewhere, the material world, so from where.
Why confuse? Why confuse everything? Just think just think that jiva is eternal.
Yeah.
Now, consciousness is the cause of elevation or fall.
Yeah.
Now, this is also material world. I mean, this is also spiritual world. This temple is spiritual world. It's just a cloud. In the whole creation is one. Spiritual creation. But there is a cloud overcast, you know. And underneath the cloud, we cannot see the spiritual world or a sun or whatever. Once that cloud is dissipated or cloud is gone, then we can see the sun. So Maya, cloud is Maya or material energy or material world is a cloud. So we are under the cloud, we cannot see the sun. When the cloud of ignorance, when the cloud of lowest consciousness is gone and elevate our consciousness, then right from here we can see spiritual world, we can see Krishna, we can be in a spiritual trance, spiritual consciousness, universal consciousness. So it's a consciousness which makes us fall. Now you fall from earth, or fall from Golok, or fall from wherever, but it's a consciousness. Right here, if we have 100% Krishna consciousness, we are in Golok. Consciousness is elevated. And we are in Golok. Pure devotees like Prabhupada is in Golok, wherever he goes. Wherever he goes. We can say he fall down, but Jay and Vijay, as for example, we think that they fall and they become demon. They become demon. They did not fall. They just wanted to obey the instruction of their Lord. That, let's set an example that you have offended this Chatur Kumar Vaishnava. So please go and become demons and I'll come and we will have a good sporting spirit. And then after 3 births, you come back again to me. So that's not a fall. It's a will of God, a will of Krishna. So it's a chetana, it's a chetana, consciousness. If we have dirty consciousness, we are fallen. That same consciousness, 100% Krishna, conscious of Krishna, we are back to home, back to God. Golok Vrindavan. So falling, not falling depends on our consciousness. Is there answers? Okay. Any other question? Yes, Maya.
If the material world is eternal, he doesn't have a beginning and ending, does it mean there will always be some jivas who will be in material world?
Yes. Yes, material world doesn't have to be eternal, but looks like it is going eternal. It's going eternally. If you see the material, it's a cloud. Again, material world means a part of the spiritual sky develop the cloud. And under the cloud is the material world. So material world is produce of Karano Dakshay Vishnu. Karan, in Karan Samudra. Causal ocean. Karano Dakshay Vishnu. And in a kingdom of a king, there is always jail. Because culprits are always going to be there in kingdom. So jail has, because always culprits are there, the jail is also always there. So similarly, this material world is a jail under the shadow of that cloud in the spiritual world. So, because the culprit will be there, jail will be there. But doesn't have to be. and looks like it is going to be. Looks like that way. Because Karunadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, long, long time, their existence is almost like eternal. Any, is that okay? Any other question? That was your question, no? What was your question? Is eternal? Material world? Yes? Yeah, because the jiva has a minute, her question is, there will be jiva in material world. Yes. Why? Because jivas have very, very minute, they are very minute in nature. And because of that minute nature, they tend to fall down. Meaning, they tend to come under the spell of Maya. They tend to fall in their consciousness because of their minute nature. But Mahatma, like Prabhupada, Mahatma and Duratma. Mahatma, they don't fall because their consciousness is very elevated and they don't pollute their consciousness. And that's why they don't fall. Even though they may be in hell or heaven or in a earth planet or wherever. There, Prabhupada says, I never miss Krishna. I never miss my Gurudevs. They are right next to me all the time. And that means he is in spiritual world. His consciousness is very elevated. So jiva, because of the minute nature, they tend to fall. They become implicated with Maya. They become allured by Maya. They become attracted by Maya. And because of the minute, small, little nature, they fall into Maya. Mahatma, they are also Atma, but they are Mahatma. They are, they cannot fall. Nitya Siddha Karimane. Gurangera Sangijane Nitya Siddha Karimane. Gurang Mahaprabhu's associates, they were Nitya Siddha. And they did not fall. We don't have to say that they went to back to home, back to Godhead. Also, this is back to Godhead. If the Chaitanya, if your consciousness is pure and elevated, this is Golok. Reciprocation with Panchatattva. We are in Mayapur Dham. Minute nature. That's why they fall and that's why always there will be material world. Any other question? It's already late. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda ki? Guru Gauranga ki? Gaur Prema Nandi.